B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There's no need to panic, but we for sure have an opportunity here that, you know, we just cannot allow ourselves to just go through the motions and expect, you know, us being who we are is going to take care of itself, because that's not the case. We're not that good at that particular point yet, and we need obviously practice, and hopefully everything else is halted, you know, from the COVID situation, and which will allow us to do that. But yeah, even if whatever the situation is, we know we're not the only team that's being faced with it, and we just have to be ready to go here moving forward.
Cam Newton says there's no time to panic. Agree or disagree, Mass?
No, I agree. I wouldn't panic yet. It's 2-3. I mean, that stat that's out there is going to shock people into a state of panic, which is the fact that the Patriots have a losing record after five games for the first time since 2002. Okay, so that's going to scare people. But I would say that I'm not ready to panic yet. I think that they still have the capacity to have a good season, make the playoffs, make a little bit of noise. Like, you know, I think they still have the chance to do that. But, it, you know, if it's going to be like it was yesterday, forget it.
Okay, I'm not giving up, but it's a little panicky. It's a little.
Small P. I mean, that's a game that's inexcusable. They should never have lost that yesterday, even with the lack of practice. But I look at the rest of the conference. I mean, the cream of the crop, your Titans, your Steelers, even if you want to throw Kansas City and Baltimore in there. You're not close to them, but the rest of it, like, I don't know, they could probably get in at 8-8 with the expanded playoffs, so I'm not that worried about it.
They have a tough schedule, so you got to win those like yesterday. Like, that's one. So you got to clean up those. You got to clean up the AFC East games. You got to clean up on the Denver Broncos, for crying out loud, because, I mean, you could lose the next three. I don't think you're looking at a four-game losing streak, but San Fran, Buffalo, and what's the fourth one?
They play the Jets and then Baltimore. At the Jets and then Baltimore.
They ain't losing to the Jets.
Okay, so yeah, they're not losing to the Jets. It's but you know, it's San Fran, Buffalo. I don't know. 2-3 becomes 2-4, 3-5. I mean, I don't know.
It could become 2-5 if you lose them both.
Okay, you need Buffalo to lose tonight. You need Buffalo to lose right now. They're about to kick off against Kansas City. So, I mean, I'm a little panicky, but I'm not giving up, because I do think, again, how Vic Fangio handled that game at the end. I think there's a lot of that still in the league. There's a lot of teams willing to give you the game if you just stand there and let them give it to you. And they're still going to get those games. I still have to believe that. And so, I do think, you know, the offensive line, if it gets back and together, it should be better. I can't tell you that their pass catchers are going to get any better, but their line should get better, and that should help everybody. And, you know, I'm just not going to give up on it. But I'm telling you, you can't lose games like yesterday. You got to win those, because there's losable games on your schedule coming up. You got to win the easy ones. And that was a bunny. I am sorry.
Well, and especially because I am a believer in the whole idea of, you know, controlling your own destiny a little bit, which means 3-2 sounds a hell of a lot better than 2-3. You know, it doesn't sound like much of a difference, but it is, because you're still a winning team. And if you're going to have those tough games, you need a little cushion. You got to have that.
To me, the division still feels like the path. Even with the expanded playoffs, even with the extra playoff team, I still think you got a better shot to catch Buffalo than to be one of those seven. I really do.
Really?
Yeah. And that, because that's generally the way it works out, Murray. When people, so they ran the studies. When they went to seven playoff teams, people thought, oh, here comes 7-9, 8-8 in the playoffs. And that's not usually the case. The 7-9, 8-8 team is usually a division winner. And that's usually how that team slips in. And you'll see that Seattle team that was 7-9, they won their division.
Correct.
That's why they hosted the game.
Sure.
So it's just the way it tends to work out. I mean, watching the NFC.
NFC East is going to be a disaster.
Let's see what the record is. You know, it's going to be easier to win the NFC East than it is going to be a wild card team in the NFC. And this division is, you know, isn't as bad. But I'm just telling you, I think it's going to be a division thing more than it's going to be a wild card thing. So anyway, they got to win games like yesterday. And the most disappointing thing to me on top of it all is just, I had assumed and I had thought, like so many of you did, that the Patriots would be the team best equipped to handle COVID, the best equipped. They run the best operation. They've got the most mature locker room with the best coach and the most buttoned down culture in the league, that they wouldn't, you know, suffer the thing like other teams have, which I was obviously wrong about because they're the second worst team in the league when it comes to the outbreaks. But even if they did, less practice time, rescheduled games, other teams would struggle with it because they're not as buttoned down and not as well run as you are. And you'd have the advantage. Bill would have some sort of tactical advantage if the schedule was turned on its ear because he's Bill and everyone else is stupid. Didn't we all think that?
Yes.
Instead, it's just the opposite. Instead, he let his team be affected by it more than the opponent, a bad, clueless opponent. And so that's the worst part of it to me. It's like, geez, I did not see that coming.
And I think his team was affected by it because he was affected by it. That's the thing. I think his inability to run it the way he wanted to run it caused him such frustration that he basically threw his hands up and said, screw it, cancel practice. We'll just play on Sunday.
Let's do the email of the day while we're here. If you don't mind, Jimmy, please.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felga, I really hate you. And I think Maz is a boon.
The Moncast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Ryan writes in, you're a moron. Felger, your trolling has gone to a whole new level. You have been knocking at the door of Skip Bayless and Nick Wright for a while, but now you're in their category. You're not as bad as them. Oh, I'm sorry. He says you're not as bad as them. But come on, man. The Patriots have had two practices in 2 weeks. You know they can't win with a makeshift offensive line in two practices without Skarnecchia. And where was Cam Newton? And where was Cam Newton, you ask? Because I did ask this. What's he been doing for the last 2 weeks? Ryan writes in, he was glued to his couch because the Titans screwed up any chance they could have had of having captain's practices. Just wait until this upcoming week with a full week of practice and he spanks Jimmy Maserati. Oh, sorry. Meaning Jimmy Garoppolo. Love you, mean it, says Ryan.
Well, look, I told you. I mean, I haven't said this on the air. I like the Patriots this week. I do. I think they'll bounce back. I think they'll, you know, presumably get a decent week of practice in, and they'll be ready to go. Usually teams bounce back from games like this if they don't look out.
But just if people want to give them a pass, and the issue was, I think, looking at how that game played out and how Belichick handled the post game, is that they weren't ready to play because they spent too much time whining last week and not focusing on a bad opponent, then they should have just forfeit. Just forfeit. You had that opportunity, right? Isn't the league saying they were looking into that? If you're riddled with COVID and you can't play, then just take the loss. We'll see in a few weeks. That's what they should have done because everyone wants to give them a pass, apparently.
Self-pity.
They didn't have time to practice.
The same people that want to give them a pass last week, we were all on the same page, and we all felt this was possible. The Pats would practice twice or once in a two-week period and still win because they're the Patriots, and Bill's got them that dialed in.
And Denver's that bad.
It's like we all thought that was going to happen, and that would be a nice story coming out of it. Look at the adversity. They ignored the noise. They ignored things they couldn't control. They were focused, and they still went out and played a representative ball game and won a game despite only practicing once or twice in a two-week period because they're still the Patriots. We all felt that was coming. So it didn't come. It was just the opposite. They succumbed to it. And now you're turning around and saying, well, what do you expect? They couldn't practice. Like, oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always that excuse there. Always waiting. You know, the excuse is always there for Bill. No matter what he does, he can't lose.
Okay, back to your phones, as promised. Your phones the whole rest of the way here. We've got Mike and Dennis. Go ahead, Mike. Michael.
Mike and Dennis?
Yes, that's you.
Hey, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
I wanted to comment on Belichick, and Murray commented on the mask on the sideline with players. I think everybody's paranoid over there. When this COVID thing first hit, I didn't believe it. It was out west. It was out in Italy. I mean, nothing for nothing, but until it hits close to home, I think Belichick, being marginalized with his age and everything, he might be a little bit paranoid about the whole thing and just sort of fed up with the whole season, like everybody's fed up in the country.
Okay,
the whole thing.
I mean, so what? That's an excuse? We're okay with that? Because other teams aren't handling it that way. Other teams are plowing ahead. Tennessee keeps winning games. Ryan Tannehill keeps making plays. So what? Like, and I mean, I think it's a fair thing to bring up with the guys wearing the masks on the sideline. Like, is this crawled into their head?
It was just weird, you know, because so what is it? Like, they're concerned because it ran rampant through the locker room? Or are they trying to send a message like we shouldn't be out here because we don't feel safe? The coaches, I get, it's a league mandate. They have to wear face coverings. That you saw some of the players with them on yesterday, there, something was up there.
It's just the thing that I find frustrating about it is that Bill typically says ignore all the distractions. Ignore them all. Focus on the football, and he gets his team to focus. Like, he does that better than anybody ever. And now all of a sudden it feels like he's gotten out of the way, and he wants his players to be distracted, and I understand it. And I don't know if he's trying to reflect the human side or what. I don't know what it is, or if he's just thumbing his nose at the league saying, fine, you want to undermine the whole thing? Undermine the whole thing. Go ahead.
There's a balance there between showing, you know, the interests of your health and players, which has to be paramount. Like, I get it, but you're also still playing, and they're playing the season and you're playing games and they count. So, you know, yesterday it felt like way too much, you know, way too much giving in to the situation, which is unlike them. Drew in Boston. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, guys. So you guys have been outlining, you know, for a while now, the drafting has been bad. So our roster is kind of lackluster. We're having problems. The guy on the other side of the field is terrible and still came in our house and beat us. So if the reason Bill has always been so great is the in-game and that's slipping, why don't we take a page out of his playbook, get rid of him a year early rather than a year too late, and send him to the Jets for the first pick and get Dabo.
Okay. I'm going to just not even entertain that. The thing about the talent complaint is I finally figured it out. Like, I don't want to go there. Like, I just, you know, Bedard's blaming Belichick, the GM, and people say, well, what do you expect? The receivers suck and their pass catchers suck, and it's all true. You have enough talent to beat Denver. This is it. When they lose to Seattle in Seattle or Kansas City, you want to say it's a talent thing? Okay, I got it. Those teams are well more talented, far more talented. Okay, fair case. Even with all your crappy drafting and lack of pass catchers and all the, you know, complaints you want to make about the roster, you're still more talented than Denver. So that shouldn't have been the issue yesterday.
No, and I'll tell you, I still think people overlooked the defense yesterday. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bust balls when all they did was give up field goals. Denver didn't punt until the fourth quarter.
You were still more talented than that team yesterday. So I don't want to hear the talent thing this week.
And their defense has plenty of talent in that secondary. This is what I'm getting at. Like, and I just... You don't force a punt until the fourth quarter? The fourth quarter? After a loss? And there's play, and all the guys on that defense, particularly in the secondary, those guys have played together a little while now. They, you know, the linebackers are different, but there's some continuity there in the secondary. And I'm not saying they got totally shredded through the air, but I'm sorry, that third and 21 they gave up, and I know it was a good play. Even so, you can't give that up.
More of your calls right after this.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mazz. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Locke extends the hands, takes the snap. He's going to look to throw. Locke, under some pressure, hit as he releases the ball. Deep downfield is going to be intercepted by Jonathan Jones. Jonathan Jones with the interception down the right seam. On the throw by Locke, intended for Patrick.
What a ridiculous decision by Denver, but what a play downfield by Jones and company in double coverage. He's looking for Patrick on the deep streak post. He gets hit when he throws it, but it's still double coverage with Gilmore and Jones.
And that's a heck of a catch by Jonathan Jones as well. The ball off the right hand of Patrick as Locke was hit upon release.
They should have ran it and made New England burn timeouts.
The Patriots with two timeouts remaining and the Broncos allowing Locke to let it loose.
So this is really why I don't write the Patriots off. There's always some dumb team and some idiotic coach that's willing to throw the ball deep down the field, up 6 points with 3.5 minutes left, and you down to 2 timeouts.
Maybe the stupidest thing I've ever seen in a football game. I'm not kidding. And I'm, you know, we've been and seen a lot of it.
Oh yeah,
Pete Carroll in the Super Bowl, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Seen a million of them.
It's up there.
This one, 3 minutes to go. They have 2 timeouts. They need a touchdown. All you've got to do is burn the clock and kick the ball. That's all. It amazes me how these coaches constantly overthink everything they do. Hand it off. Kill the clock. Punt.
Maz, I think it's actually something worse than that. I don't think they were stupid. I think that that was based in spite. I'm not kidding. The more I thought about it, I think what Fangio was trying to do was prove a point. Oh, you had to make us wait to play this game. We're going to really try to stick it to you. And in that case, they really did get what they deserved there with those 2 terrible turnovers. What are you doing?
I mean, that is some way to show that, Murray. I mean, I'm not disputing it. I have no idea what's in his head. I don't think anything's in his head. I think Pat Shurmur's the doofus offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio calls the defensive plays, and it's another one of these head coaches where the other side of the ball's on the field. He turns his brain off.
They're 2 retreads who have no business having the jobs that they have.
He's just looking at his defensive play sheet in case he needs to, you know, dial up another defense. Meanwhile, he lets one of his assistants run the offense, and no one's in charge of the whole operation. Like, are you listening, Vic? Did you hear the play call in your headset? You can say run it. Because all you had to do there, again, Patriots have 2 timeouts. It's 3:23. So run it. Take 2 knees. Patriots call 2 timeouts. Then there's, what, 3 minutes left. You run one more play just north of the 2-minute warning. You kick the ball away. They have no timeouts, have to drive the length of the field. That's the worst that happens.
Right, exactly. It's a layup.
Or here's an idea. You could just hand it to Lindsey, who's actually pretty good and had a really nice day, and you could give it to him 3 times. And at worst, the scenario plays out that I just said. You kick it away with just over 2 minutes left, and they have to drive the length of a field. But it's possible, because he's really good, and the Patriots sucked on this day, that he actually gains a first down and the ball game's over.
Correct.
Instead, you're going to give it to Drew Lock and chuck it 30 yards, 40 yards down the field?
Yeah, let's go!
What, are you freaking stupid?
Yeah, let's take a shot. Go! Throw it, Biv.
This is why the Patriots are still in it.
And I'll tell you, it's every week a team does this sort of crap. You remember the game of Tampa Bay where they held the ball for 16 seconds against Chicago and gave them the ball right back?
Yes.
They all do it. They're idiots. Yesterday, Romeo Crennel's up 7. Instead of kicking the extra point to make it 8, he goes for 2.
Yes, he does.
And then they lose in overtime.
There's always someone there willing to do that for you.
I mean, it's one jackass move after the next. It's unbelievable.
Okay, so again, I keep promising your calls. Here we go. Aldo and Ludlow, thanks for hanging on. What do you got, Aldo?
Well, guys, you guys pretty much touched on everything I was thinking. But how about this? Maybe Jim has the point that he decided to go all in and say, you know what? It's Tom that we had to worry about, not you, Billy. So all in.
So that's why Fangio threw it. I don't believe in any of these conspiracy theories. I think it's just pure rank stupidity.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
It just
yeah. Now we're overthinking it.
Generic bad judgment.
Yeah,
by the offensive coordinator who runs the offense. And generic, you know, sort of lack of oversight and institutional control by the head coach, who's really just a glorified coordinator. So again, when the other unit is on the field, the head coach turns his brain off. And so who's running the clock? Who's running the game situation? Who's running the timeouts? Not Vic Fangio, because he's done. It's my unit's on the sidelines, even though he's the head coach. So the offensive coordinator calls some mind-numbingly stupid play, and the head coach isn't paying attention. That's what happened.
Unbelievably stupid.
Either way, he's an idiot.
I can't possibly explain how stupid that was.
Michelle in Rockland on Brady in Tampa. What'd you think of him yesterday, Michelle?
Oh, he's unbelievable. You know, I'm the type of person, when he loses, I can't sleep at night. Last Thursday, I couldn't sleep. I slept like a friggin' baby last night. It was unbelievable how he played. And the freaking Patriots, oh, please, I can't stand Jimmy G, but can you please come here and light them up so I can have another nice, restful night's sleep? I just can't wait.
Okay, Michelle, thank you.
She's a delight.
You know, she's raring to go there.
How old are you, Michelle?
No, good day for the Bradyites. Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, you know, we've talked before how's it going in Tampa? How's it going in Foxborough? We knew there was going to be these days where the Pats played like trash and Brady would have an amazing day like he did yesterday, vintage day. I don't think anybody that I know, I don't think you guys thought it would be after this week.
Nope.
Because Denver, for lack of a better term, blows. So, I mean, they suck so bad. And they even tried to give the game away to you, and you still couldn't win. I don't know what the hell happened there. It almost looked like they didn't even really want to play. They just didn't. They didn't have it. Nothing looked right. And I think Tony said a little while ago, it's almost like Belichick kind of just chucked his hands in the air. It was like, you know what? We don't have it today. I'm not in the mood. Kick it. Let's get the hell out of here. And then we watched Brady against the Packers, who I did not give them a shot at all to beat. And they destroyed them. So that does not make this loss to one of the worst teams in the NFL any easier to swallow.
No,
I know that
was tough. It was tough swallowing tonight. Again, it looked like the 43-year-old quarterback is just about ready to go on another big run, and the coach has lost it. That's how it looks yesterday. Now, again, we've had some different analyses here. After week one, looked like Brady was in a world of hurt down there, and Belichick had the Patriots, you know, right where he always has them, dialed in, ready to go. Last week, Brady couldn't count to four and was, you know, about to fall off a cliff, and Bruce Arians is a moron, and that team's going nowhere, and the Pats are just fine. Today, again, looks like the coach, the game's passed him by, and the quarterback is ready to go on a run. This changes week to week. Hopefully it continues.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like this for a little while, at least until you can get some sort of, you know, consistent read. But this year, I should even take that back. I think this year, with all the interruptions and just, you know, outside influences and elements, it's going to be hard to get a clear read until very late.
Oh, no, but we're making a read this year. I don't care if we have more shutdowns and it threatens the league. We're making the call.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
Oh, no. I didn't say there wouldn't be a final decision.
Okay. All right.
I just said we might not know as early as we usually do.
Okay.
That's my only point. Right.
No, we'll definitely, there will be a blowing at the end of the year, Murray.
I demand it.
Oh, yeah. It's still open which way it's going to go. I still think it could go either way. I think the Pats could steady themselves.
Totally.
Everyone else could puke themselves.
Sure.
And with Bruce Arians down there, like you said, too, like if they went to Vegas and got waxed on Sunday night, would you be shocked? I wouldn't.
Nah, me neither. They commit 10 penalties again for 120 yards and they're right back to being who they are?
I think that's a safe bet.
Like, right.
I'm serious. I think the chances of them having another clean game next week are low.
Dave in Malden. Hi, Dave.
All right, can we take a look at the Felger and Maz Big Board Bill versus Tom edition?
I think we have one.
Yeah, let me get it. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, because I want to keep score here, you know, I was thinking it was 3-3, you know, we're at week six, so I was thinking it was 3 Bill, 3 Tom. But then I went back and looked. The Bucks played the Broncos, and they waxed them 28-10. Brady went off. He was 25 of 38, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Right now, I got it 4-2. I got Brady ahead. Brady over Bill.
Yeah, 4-2. Okay, I got you. I don't know if I want to keep score like that, but someone did send us this.
I think it actually might have been him, the dude that was on the phone that sent this.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to fill this out.
Yeah.
We have a Felger and Maz Big Board, Bill versus Tom edition.
It's like a line score in baseball. You put the head of the winner next to each column.
Yeah, he wants us to cut it out and glue it. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, so I'm not doing it. I do it for the draft. Someone else can do this one. But it does sort of show the scoreboard week to week. So, I mean, can we just not say 4-2? Just give me who's ahead overall this year?
Brady.
Brady.
Yeah, as of after this week, it's Brady.
Brady. It's definitely Brady.
Brady.
But not by much.
I mean, look, it was just prior to yesterday.
It was pretty even.
Prior to yesterday, Brady was all punch drunk, couldn't count to four at the end of a bad loss to to the Bears.
No, that was a big swing game yesterday. Big swing game. That's like the double score. You know, Brady just took him in at the end of the half and got the ball and scored again at the start of the third.
That is a big swing because that could have easily been a loss. You know, just based on the odds, by the way, you know, the Bucks were underdogs and the Pats were big favorites. So that should have been a one that Bill cleaned up on.
Absolutely.
Instead it flipped.
Right, again, you know, they beat a good team. You lost to a bad one. Huge swing there. Huge. But Numbnuts Arians is likely to take his team to Vegas and have it happen the other way around this week. That jackass in his stupid hat. Like, I don't have faith in that guy down there after watching those jackwagons play for the first 5 weeks.
Here comes Murray's update. We're back with one more segment of your wonderful phone calls. One open line if you want to grab it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From the Denver 24, on fourth and 10, shotgun snap. Broncos setting the blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
I'm not sure if it's on the throw or the route, but it was there. For sure it was there. It's a double middle blitz. Is he expecting him to return out? Is that a return route? It doesn't seem like it is. I might tend to, you know how critical I am of Nikhil. I think I might be putting this on the quarterback. Because the ball's thrown too far to the outside. You're anticipating the blitz and you're going to get hit. And then you got to guess where the receiver's going to be. It's probably one Cam wishes he had back.
One last time for Drew Lock as he takes the right knee in the Denver Broncos.
It's a bad loss.
All right, getting your thoughts on it. We have a couple non-Patriots thoughts that we'll wrap up the segment with. But let's try and zip through your calls here if we can. Al in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Al.
Mike, I just wonder what the hell the game plan was there. On defense, it looked like they were playing a prevent defense to stop them getting touchdowns, letting them down the field. And on offense, we had to find a couple of trick plays. We couldn't run. We couldn't pass on them. What the hell was the game plan on there?
Okay, well, at the end, you couldn't do anything conventionally, so you start throwing backward passes and reverses and all that. I don't have a problem with that at all. Whatever it takes. The game plan on defense? I mean, I don't know. What is the game plan on defense? Sort of sit there and wait for Drew Lock to make a mistake. He finally did, but it take two. I mean, I don't know. Do they even need a game plan?
No, I think that they're.
I mean, like, how do you attack the Denver Broncos? Like,
wait for him to make a mistake. I think that's what they were probably doing.
Yeah, I think their overall approach was probably let's not do anything stupid. Let's avoid giving up the big play because they can't drive down the field, and then if they do, we'll end up giving up a field goal more often than not. And I would say. Generally, that worked, except they couldn't force a punt. Forgive me. They couldn't force a punt until the fourth quarter.
And wait a minute. I want to go back. I'm sorry to cut you off, Matt. Mike, you have no problem with them going with a couple of double passes to beat the Denver Broncos?
I mean, if that's what it takes to win the game. I mean, I think
Jimmy put it perfectly. Did you texted it to us all yesterday, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, if you have to go to trick plays to beat the Denver Broncos, you deserve to lose.
Well, you suck.
You suck.
Right.
But if it takes a trick play to score, you shouldn't do it?
No, I don't have a problem with I understand what their point is.
No, I mean, your point is it's an indictment on the team and the way they play.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you have Cam.
It doesn't mean you shouldn't call
them. Agreed 100%, but if that's the only way you can do it, then do it.
Well, that's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
Terrible.
It is. It's terrible and it's embarrassing.
But what's really embarrassing is to call the plays and still lose. that's what's really embarrassing. If the plays work and you win, then we say, okay, great calls. But they dusted them off and used them, and they still sucked.
Rocco and Saugus. Hi, Rocco. Rocco, call us back. You know the number. How about our buddy Wayne in Grafton? Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, I wasn't going to call today because yesterday was a designated loss. To use a hockey term, but you know, you were talking about dog walking. I mean, you guys know that's something that I could do. I could be a sports dog walker and just indulge me for a second. I mean, the client gives you the keys to the house, their security code, and you come in, you take care of the dogs, you leave, and you can use the facilities, take a leak or take a dump. So guys, question of the day. Would you like me coming into your house?
He gets dirty, and I go back and explain what the hell he's talking about. Gasper said here on Friday, in defending the players, that it's a pandemic. America has a pandemic problem, so you can't blame the players if they catch COVID or COVID shame or whatever. He's talking about this thing. He said you can go get it walking the dog. So what, you can't blame these players. So to which my response was earlier, then the Patriots must have had, they should hire some dog walkers. because they've got quite a few guys who catching COVID walking their dog, unless that's a euphemism for whatever, you know.
Yeah, I can give you an example.
So, holy crap. So, Sony Michel, how did Sony Michel get it? Because he hasn't been in the building in 3 weeks. He wasn't on the he wasn't on the plane to Kansas City, never mind the small locker room. Sony Michel was not subject to the unfair, draconian, you know, irresponsible policies of Roger Goodell and the league. He was on IR.
Yeah, Goodell mailed it to him.
So how did he get it? Walking the dog? Is that how he got it?
Sucking lemons. I think that's how he got it. He's, oh, I almost said something bad there.
How did Sony Michel get it?
That usually cost extra, man.
Yeah, Matthew in Hanover. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi, how's it going, guys? My question today is, if like COVID isn't a thing, and we still have Cam Newton, are we still a top five team?
If COVID,
or are we a top five team?
No, because the receivers suck and the tight ends suck. Like they have personnel issues.
But it's beyond that. If you're a team, if you're a really good team, you overcome the adversity of the lack of practice time and you beat a bad opponent in your home building like you should. That's what you do. That to me, the talent is a whole separate thing. You know, yesterday wasn't about talent. You're still more talented than Denver. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I judge them on the way they approached that game and the way they played that game. To me, it was not about talent yesterday. It may be talent. At some point, it's going to be about talent. At some point, they're going to run into a team that just has more horses, more speed, and they won't keep up, and then fine. Then that's talent. Yesterday is about approach and your head and how you played. And so I'm sorry. A top five team does not just mail it in like that.
After Tennessee did what they did to Buffalo, going into that game yesterday, I said the Patriots will be all right. They're going to be all right. They're going to win the game. Belichick, if Tennessee can figure it out, Belichick will figure it out.
Exactly.
They'll be ready to go. And, you know, it might be a little clunky at times, but they'll still win the game, you know, 24-10. Something like that. I did not expect this.
We all felt, even if they were bad, they would find a way. Everyone thought they would find a way. Instead, they gave in. So, again, that is not Patriot-like. That's not top five, you know, team material. Not even close. Mike in Medford. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. When are people going to suddenly get off this N'Keal Harry is – no, everyone refuses to work with N'Keal Harry. Like, N'Keal Harry is not a good receiver. He's got one catch from Jarrett Stidham, and – I don't think that this guy could catch COVID if he was sitting next to Stephon Gilmore and Cam Newton and sharing silverware with him.
He sucks. I won't go that far, though. I mean,
it's tough.
Mean.
But.
Oh, he blows.
Oh, my God.
What does he do?
Seriously. So, again, like it's one of those things where you look at yesterday and you said he got targeted twice, zero in the first half. He had no catches. And one of the second target, obviously, was the final play of the game from the Patriots' standpoint anyway. The other one was an interception that got deflected along the way, but I'm not sure the pass was going to get completed either way. But that's it. He was, I don't remember, I barely remember seeing him on the field in the first half. So is that he sucks and he wasn't open and Newton didn't throw it to him? Or do I have to look at Josh McDaniels on that and say, wait a minute, you guys say how much of a locomotive this guy is when he gets the ball in his hands. So why not a little swing pass like the one you threw him in week one? Now, granted, the Miami defender came up and knocked Harry on his ass in that play. But did they try to get Harry the ball yesterday, Mike?
Or jet sweeps or something like that.
Did they try to get Edelman the ball yesterday?
Hell no. And Harry, by the way, played 89% of the snaps. He was out there for 51 snaps.
So if these guys are your best skill players, get them the ball or put more running backs on the field. Like, you'll throw to those guys, so put Burkhead and White out there at the same time. Put Harris and White out there at the same time. You got three of them now that can catch the ball to run two of them out there on every play or every other play or whatever. Like, that's the other thing, and I don't know, maybe we can do this more in McDaniels tomorrow. The play calling sucked. The play calling in this game sucked.
Hold that thought.
If you can't get the ball to some of these guys, find a way to get them the ball. Like, seriously. Again, they ran that little swing pass for Harry in week one to get him the ball and get him with a head of steam. Why didn't they do more of that yesterday?
Too busy feeling sorry for themselves because the league made him go into a small locker room in Kansas City and they couldn't practice.
I mean, that's really what it was. That's what it felt like. that woe is us, woe is the Patriots, the league screwed us, they sent us to Kansas City, we got sick on the plane, the locker room was small, we came back, they canceled the week, we had to fight for ourselves, now it's time to play, and are we okay, though? Are we healthy to play? And they went out there and they half-assed it.
Okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow with the big boy. I want two non-Patriots items right here to close out the show. I was watching baseball. I was watching, who was the, it was the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Right, yeah.
Yes,
and
Dodgers,
who is that? Who is that guy in the outfield? He made a couple of plays. He leapt over the wall in right center.
Mookie Betts.
You tell me what I'm talking about. Did you watch the Dodgers and Mookie Betts this weekend, Maz?
I saw a little of it.
How'd you like that, huh?
Yeah, pretty good.
How'd that taste?
This is why I told you I had to rip Mookie on Friday because I thought there was a chance they could come back and win the next three. In fact, I tried to place a bet on it. I just didn't get there in time. So I'm not shocked that they came back and won. He still didn't have a great series. I mean, he hit .269, no home runs. He made a nice catch against the outfield wall that was overrated.
A couple catches.
Okay, the one up against the wall, overrated. Not that tough a play.
Saved a home run.
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
No, it didn't.
It did.
Watch the replay. He wasn't
above
the line.
Several times.
He was not above the line.
That saved a home run.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't. It did not save a home run. So I'm not surprised that the Dodgers won, and I'm now rooting for the Rays.
But that isn't that bad for baseball, though?
It is. But I have to pick the lesser of two evils at this stage, Murray. So I'm rooting for Tampa.
You're take invested. I get it.
Go, Tampa. Go. I was rooting like hell against them, but they screwed it up in Game 7 and actually won.
Thank God it was the Braves that blew the 3-0 lead.
Oh, that was great.
I can't stand to look at them.
So this is the lesser of two evils. I'm going to go with the Rays at this stage and root against the Dodgers.
Okay, so that's Maz's one non-Patriot item. Here's mine. This was my favorite headline from the weekend. This headline blew me away. And I had to look into it because I couldn't believe what my eyes said to me. And the headline is simply this. It was on ESPN.com or AP. I don't know where I saw it, but this was the actual headline. Thornton spoke to Montana on leaving the Bay Area. And I said to myself, Thornton spoke to Montana.
I just got it.
Like, you can't. That's not. Did Billy Bob Thornton? That's not Joe Montana. You're telling me Joe Thornton felt he should call a peer, someone in his situation, Joe Montana, and ask him about the pitfalls of leaving the Bay Area as a multi-champion icon of the region.
Greatest player in the history of the league, maybe at his position until Brady came along.
Joe. I'm talking to Joe Thornton now?
You don't take that call.
If you're Joe Montana, yeah. You don't take that. Who is this? I'm sorry, who? You want to know what it's like to leave the Bay Area as a multi-champion icon Hall of... Joe Thornton should never be mentioned in the same breath.
Yeah, you take that call from Steph Curry.
Right. Joe Thornton should not be calling Joe Montana on this. He should be calling, I don't know, Patrick Marleau. You should be calling someone like that. You don't call Joe Thornton and Joe Montana should never be in the same sentence. Never mind one calling the other for advice.
No, who he should call is Steve DeBerg.
Right? Who do you think you are? Call Mike Singletary. Who you're calling Joe Montana on that? The biggest loser in the history of hockey? Calling the second greatest winner in the history of football? That doesn't quite... Kukoc calling Jordan saying, how do I leave Chicago? Tell me the pitfalls of leaving Chicago. What are you doing? Anyway, it was just a small little thing.
Oh, no, it's a great one.
It's like,
please, Joe Thornton. It tells you what part of the problem was, is Joe Thornton's, what's what I'm looking for? Opinion of himself.
Lack of self-awareness.
Holy crap, seriously, wow.
All right, anyway, pick it up with the big boy tomorrow at 2. Here comes the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right. Well, there was much debate about whether or not Bill Belichick should have or shouldn't have gone for the two-point conversion in yesterday's loss to the Denver Broncos, and that led to math on air, which is always terrible on this show.
If there's that two-score thing, and it's, you know, I'll just do this off the top of my head so my numbers might not be exactly right, but if it's in this situation and you're going to need a two-point either on your first touchdown or your second, they are now going for the two on that first one versus the making it 8-point game and going for it on the second. And there's a whole rationale behind it where you can manage the game a certain way and use your timeouts a certain way, and there's a methodology to it that a lot of teams are using.
Yeah. Okay, but I've seen that when teams are down 14, not 15.
So that's a new one too. This is different. This is a 15-point deficit. You need two touchdowns, and on one of them, you need the two-pointer.
Right.
Almost always now across the league, the teams are going for two on that first touchdown.
Okay, I think that's stupid because if you miss, now you need two scores.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but either way, you're going to need a two-pointer on one of the two possessions.
Yeah, but now you need three possessions instead of two.
But you're still going to need the two-pointer, so you might end up needing that third possession anyway.
No, once you miss the first one, you don't need the second two-pointer.
Well, yes, you do, Maz.
No, so, because you've only scored 14.
I'm
then
begging you not to do this on the
Mike.
Air.
You're missing the point.
You're down 15 points,
right? So if you miss two on the first one, you get it the second time. You're still down one.
Don't yell at me. And you go for two. You've missed it. Now you need the third possession. You're going to need the 2-pointer on one of those two possessions. And if you miss it, you're going to need a third. Get it?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it. You shouldn't need the third possession if you kick the extra point the first time. You're down 8.
Right.
Touchdown and then the 2-pointer. If you kick. And right. If you don't kick, now you need two possessions.
Right. But if you miss the 2-pointer on the second one, you're going to need it anyway.
Yeah, but you put the pressure on Denver. You make Denver play it like a one-possession game.
Very good.
There you go.
Yeah. That was clear.
Yeah.
That made complete sense to me.
If you don't make the 2-pointer, you're going to need three possessions.
We also got some blowing and a reference to a gopher hole today.
Scott in Rhode Island on Brady Rogers. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, hello. I was just wondering, how does it feel to have Tampa Bay stick it right in your gopher hole?
I've never heard that one before.
Stick it in your what?
Gopher hole. But you see...
it was inviting, truthfully. I mean, I've been rooting for him.
Gopher hole, that's Minnesota. So you'd stick it in your gopher hole. You'd stick it in my badger hole. Okay, so I got badgered yesterday. I took a good badgering. I don't know. Maybe he didn't mean gopher hole.
Yeah.
I still like it.
Yeah, it's a little...
It works.
That's a little borderline. I don't know.
No, it's definitely borderline. That's why it works.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.